Hey everyone, I'm Chris Hall and this is the Downtime Podcast, where normally we take you inside the world of elite mountain biking. This episode is going to be a little bit different. So you may remember back in episode 16, Katie Kerr joined us, and one of the things she talked about was the issues that she's been having this season with concussions. A lot of you got in touch and we realised that it was a really big topic and definitely something we wanted to cover in more detail. So myself and Adrian from Pure Body Balance got in touch and we put together this episode about concussion. Now, probably not the most exciting thing and maybe not what all of you want to hear, but it's super important that we look after ourselves and we look after our riding buddies and make sure that everyone carries on enjoying what they're doing and doesn't have issues resulting from crashes. So please have a listen to this episode, take it in. And Adrian has been really kind and put together a super helpful PDF, which covers all the information you need to know on how to assess yourself, where to go and get help, and what to look for. So if you head over to our website, www.downtimepodcast.com, and go to the episode, you'll find a link to the PDF in the show notes. Just to say that this podcast is not a form of diagnosis or treatment, and that medical advice should always be sought if you have had an accident. Okay, without further ado, here's Adrian Stokes from Pure Body Balance. Adrian Stokes, welcome to the Downtime Podcast. Thanks for taking time to come on today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Good stuff. So we spoke to Katie Kerd sometime earlier in the year, and she talked through some of the issues that she's been struggling with from some concussions during last year's race season. It's yourself at Pure Body Balance that's been helping her through that. So we connected and we talked about doing a bit of a follow-up to go more in-depth with concussion and hopefully help people get a bit more awareness and understanding of what to look out for. But before we dig into that, are you okay to just give us a bit of background on yourself, kind of how you got into riding and how you came to be doing the Pure Body Balance thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, basically, I kind of fell into Pure Body Balance really through my own problems with health, and it's also the same with my wife because we're a partnership here. But it was our own issues with our health that we worked on. We didn't get the help we really wanted through the standard system, and so we did our own research, and then we started studying into health and so forth. And basically, that's what we've done. We've seen how people don't get the help they need, and so we want to supply them with that help and give them that help. So we created our own business, and it works pretty good, actually.
Awesome. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, love it. Yeah, it's great.
Okay, go on. Just tell us a little bit about what it is that Pure Body Balance does.
Sure. Well, we work with riders of all different levels, from absolute beginners all the way up to elite level, to achieve their dreams. And we support them with things like nutrition, corrective exercise, strength training, high performance conditioning, and obviously with rehabilitation as well. We do mountain bike yoga. We work on lifestyle factors and also mental, emotional, so psychological stuff like sports psychology, etc. And we work one-on-one with clients from literally all over the UK, but also via Skype across Europe, etc. We run classes, and we also do pretty funky workshops, so specific mountain bike workshops and retreats. So we do like three-day retreats where riders from all levels come to work with us, and we work on things like nutrition, exercise, and we do bike setup, and we do skills coaching. We're actually into our third year of running this next year, and that's with my wife and Jake from Sprung Suspension, and Katie, who works on all the coaching. He's an amazing coach. It's quite well-rounded. It's amazing job, and I love it to bits.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. That's quite unique as well. I don't think there's many people that are doing something quite that holistic, I guess, looking at all the different elements and pulling it together, and it being kind of specific towards mountain biking as well. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, love it. It's awesome.
Nice one. Cool.
And with riding, I mean, I've been riding ever since I was a wee nipper. Ever since we were kids, my memories of being a child have always been out on my bike and just hanging out with my friends, and that's never really changed, if I'm honest. And you know, over the years, it's just got I've just fallen in love with it more and more and more. Fallen in love with the sport of mountain biking, and you know, and to the point of even we uprooted our house, we uprooted our business, and we've moved like 5 minutes away from the Forest of Dean, a pedal bike away, which has some of the best riding in the country, and it's just it's amazing. So yeah, I love it to bits.
Fantastic. Sounds like you got life sorted. Good on you.
Oh, living the dream.
Excellent. Chris. Excellent. So I mean, I dug a little bit into concussion through the conversation that I had with Katie and through sure. getting ready to talk to you today, but it's a pretty pretty detailed and complex subject, and I think kind of ever developing people's understanding. Can you give us a bit yeah. of an overview of concussion, what it is, and where we're at with understanding that subject?
Yeah, I mean, with concussion, it can be quite complex, but it is, like you say, it's ever evolving, and new research is just building and building all the time. So we're understanding more and more about it. But a concussion is basically it's basically a traumatic brain injury. So you often hear it referred to as an MTBI or a TBI or a mild traumatic brain injury. They're all the same thing. And basically it's caused by a bump to the head or a blow to the head, but not necessarily always a physical blow. It can be other things as well. So for example, in the military, when explosives go off, that can cause concussions as well. But it's where the brain can either accelerate or decelerate very quickly and cause damage inside the skull, basically.
Okay, and the I guess the it's the repeated concussion thing that people seem to be talking about a lot at the moment. Is that right? There's obviously a higher risk the more concussion incidents you have. How does that work?
Well, yeah. So I guess to understand concussion, you kind of need to know really what's going on. So I mean, if you imagine what you do, have you ever seen brain tissue? It's on its own. Have you ever felt it at all?
No, I haven't. What's it like?
It's like jelly.
Right. Okay.
It's like a blancmange jelly kind of substance. So, you know, a lot of research and information tells you that the brain bangs around inside the skull, which, you know, may be true to an extent, but it's more that it stretches, okay, because of the substance, of the actual makeup of it. And when it stretches, you have these tiny little things called neurons and axons inside the brain. I use an analogy for these as like villages, okay? So, and then you have roads as well, okay? So if you imagine the axons are like the roads and the neurons are like the villages, when the brain gets accelerated, decelerated, those can snap, the little roads can snap. And they start to break down, and that creates toxins inside the brain, and that causes problems with communication, etc. And that's what leads to concussion. And that can just be from one hit to the head. Okay. Mm-hmm. You don't have to lose consciousness either for it to be a concussion, which is a lot of people think that you do, but you don't have to. But what you're saying is is CTE.
Okay.
Was that what you were saying?
Yeah, I've heard the acronym MUSE, but I don't know much about it.
Okay, so CTE is the long name for it is chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Okay,
And that's caused by repetitive head injuries or repetitive concussions. Uh-huh. Did you see the documentary on is it Alan Shearer?
I've heard about this. This is the link between footballers heading footballs and dementia, right? I haven't seen it yet, but it's on my list.
Yeah. So I was on the phone talking to Tracy Mosley about this, and it was actually her that pointed it out to me. And it's a really good it's a good program, and I suggest anyone who can jump onto BBC iPlayer to look at it because it's very informative. But what they're saying is that when you head a ball, it's not like a full concussion, but it's a sub-concussive impact. Mm-hmm. And those constant impacts over and over and over That's what is believed to lead to things like CTE.
Okay, and what's the kind of long-term implication of something like that? I'm assuming it can be fairly detrimental to people's health, right?
Yeah, hugely. Again, it's basically what happens inside the brain. So I told you about these little things called axons, which are like the roads inside the brain. Mm-hmm. If you imagine inside those roads, there are tiny, tiny little lanes, and those lanes are held together by a little protein called tau protein. So every time you have a subconcussive hit, those tau proteins can get dislodged, and those little lanes can become damaged. Now, those tau proteins can bind together, okay, and that causes a problem with transport and communication inside the brain. And the more subconcussive hits you have, the more slight bangs to the head you have, the more this perpetuates this problem. Mm-hmm. Now, but when tau protein binds together, it encourages more tau proteins to bind together, and this accelerates the problem. And now, even if you stop, let's say, you know, like Alan Shearer playing football, even if he stopped headering the ball, it's shown that those tau proteins can still carry on binding together and causing problems, and that's what leads to CTE. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, very interesting stuff. So let's try and talk about the practical application of some of this understanding to mountain biking, because obviously it is a sport where there is a fairly high risk of crashing at some point. It's certainly something that most of us do on a fairly regular basis. And I guess often hitting our heads. I hope the vast majority of people out there are wearing helmets, but that still doesn't mean that you're exempt from this. You're still getting an impact. You're still slowing things down very quickly. So if you do have a crash, what sort of self-assessment should you do? What should you be thinking about post any kind of crash?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And it's quite funny because I went to Windhill on Sunday. And unfortunately I've messed my shoulder up, so I had to sit out.
Oh, nice.
And I know, it's just the way it is, isn't it? But I sat down on the side of the track, and I was just watching people going over the tables and so forth. And one guy came in, really nose heavy, and he just splat on the floor and really banged his head really hard, enough to actually crack his helmet, basically. Wow. At the back in half.
Yeah.
This, I had to go through this right there and then. So I basically rushed over to him and, you know, made sure he was okay, and he wounded himself a little bit, and just called a few people to like stop riders coming down. Once he was off the trail, it's just basically making sure he's okay. Is he coherent? Did he lose consciousness? But then he doesn't also. But it's just waiting with him just to gather his thoughts a bit. But I would say the first thing is, if ever you hit your head on a ride, I think you need to just be sensible and just call it a day. I did say to the guy, just do me a favor, please go and sit out, go back up to the cabin, just sit down, kick back for a bit. And then saying to his friends as well, you need to go and take him off the trail for a bit and sit him out. Mm-hmm. Which was good. And luckily he did, he went back up, and I did see him a bit later as well. And he actually was on his way home. He finished riding for the day, but I'm not sure whether that had anything to do with the fact he didn't actually have a helmet to ride with.
Yeah, fair enough.
Or sensible. But yeah, look, stop riding is the biggest thing. Because if you're sure you've got a concussion, then obviously you need to stop riding. If you're not sure, as the saying goes, if in doubt, sit it out. Okay. As riders, we want to be riding as long as possible. We want to be on our bikes and, enjoying the trails for as long as possible. And, you might lose the pain for an uplift. You might, have to sit out and watch your friends ride, but sit out.
Yeah,
sure.
And there's almost a bit of a badge of honor with riding, I think, of getting up and dusting yourself down after a big crash and cracking on, and maybe that's not the best way to look at it.
It's not that it's maybe not, it's definitely not the best way to look at it. And I'll probably get some flack for that. But like, I mean, this guy's friends were coming up and like high-fiving him and, you know, like, yeah, which is cool. You know, it's good that he can actually high-five back for a start.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, when we go out with our friends, we have a responsibility to look after each other as well. So, you know, if your friend comes off and they want to keep riding, they might not have good judgment if after hitting their head. They might think, actually, I'm all right, but they might not be sure. Now, if you do hit your head and you do suffer a concussion and you do carry on riding, you actually are more likely to suffer a second concussion because of how you're reacting and responding on the trail and riding your bike. So, you know, look after your friends and just get them to sit it out for a while.
Okay, so what about if you're in a competitive environment then? Because clearly, you know, the adrenaline's going to be flowing. How should people be thinking about that if they have a knock to the head during competition?
That's a good question, Chris. I like you said, the adrenaline is running, you're pumped up, and at that point there, if you come off, sometimes you can be so pumped up that you have no connection with what symptoms you might be feeling, and it's just get down, get the best time, you know, can you make podium, etc. And again, it's the same thing, step out. If in doubt, sit it out. And there are going to be more races, there are going to be more events, there are going to be more medals, there are going to be more podiums, etc. But it's looking at the longevity of your career as opposed to the short-term win. So, yeah, it's the same advice, sit out of that race.
Yeah, and it was good to see, you know, when Dan Atherton was still doing the Enduro World Series stuff. I can't remember which round it was, but I know he had a couple of bangs to the head and made the decision to step out of the race at that point. So, yeah, good to see kind of high-profile athletes making the right decision.
Yeah, exactly. I even Tracy said the other day there was a rider, I can't remember who it is off the top of my head, that, again, had a head injury and just sat it out and, again, riding again. So, yeah.
Good stuff.
It's about the longevity of your career and it's about the longevity of your health.
Excellent. Good stuff. Good advice. Thank you. So let's say, you know, you've had a crash, you've knocked your head.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't feel too bad, but you know you've made the right call and you've decided to sit the rest of that day out, or your friends have stopped you. Either way, what do you do from then onwards? How do you kind of keep an eye on yourself? What things should you be looking out for, and how do you know whether getting back on a bike again a day or a week or a month later is okay for you?
Okay, so it's a good question. What I would say is that you know, a concussion is just an injury like any other injury. So if I went out on my bike now, I would utterly trash my shoulder, and that would be stupid, and I'd have everyone telling me I was stupid for doing it. And so just because you can't see a concussion, you know, it doesn't mean to say you're okay and you should get back out on your bike. But things to look for can be really difficult because symptoms might not be there immediately. You might feel totally fine after hitting your head, but you might have symptoms. So you might have things like headaches are quite common. A loss of memory or confusion is another one. So, you know, if your friend does come off his bike and, you know, and they're displaying that they're a bit confused, or if you're speaking to them and their answers aren't so clear, you know, that's a sign right there. Even if you start asking them questions like, you know, how did it happen? What went on before you came off your bike? And what did you have for breakfast? What was your ride like last week? Except all those kind of things. Yeah. Ask them questions. And if they're confused, they'll struggle to answer those. You might have ringing in your ears, dizziness. So you might feel like you're slightly drunk, perhaps. Nausea and vomiting is another one. And slurred speech. Mm-hmm. Trying to think of other things. Actually, yeah, when you're asking your friends questions, a delayed response to those questions is another sign that there's, you know, could be a problem. And fatigue and being dazed, but that's kind of more, I guess, you know, over a little bit of time, over a few hours or a few days, etc. But like I said, Chris, these symptoms might not be immediate. They might come hours or days later. So, you know, this is the thing about concussion. It's difficult to diagnose because symptoms can unfold very, very slowly.
Uh-huh. So should you be thinking about taking a, you know, a decent chunk of time off to let these things play out? How would you, I mean, if it was you, you'd had a crash, you'd hit your head. How would you go about, you know, deciding when was appropriate to get back on a bike?
It's a really good question. The general guideline is 10 days.
Okay.
So for example, you know, it's quite painful to think you can't ride for 10 days.
Yeah, it is.
But you know what, if given the choice of, okay, I don't ride for 10 days or I might not ride for a year, mm-hmm. you know, realistically, I'll take 10 days anytime.
Yeah.
I would say give it 10 days because, I mean, normally in single, non-complicated, impacted concussions, 80 to 90% of issues are normally gone within 7 to 10 days.
Right.
But if you're having problems past that, then, you know that it needs to be looked into in more depth. But irrespective of that, I would definitely get checked out should you have any impact to your head.
Okay. Where would you go for that checkup? Is that an A&E job or is it your local GP? What's the best route to follow?
Yeah, I mean, GPs are good, okay? But they are very limited on their time. Uh-huh. Yes, you could go to a GP. If you went to A&E, you know, you might have to sit for a while depending on how busy it is. But they have all the equipment there. They have like CT scans and so forth, so they can look and see if there's anything going on. But yeah, I would say definitely get checked out by your GP or your A&E as an immediate thing. Sure.
Yeah. The audio cut out a little bit there. As a non-emergency thing, did you say, or?
As an emergency or as a non-emergency, you know, if you've hit your head and you're not sure, just go straight to A&E or to your GP and just get it checked out just to be sure.
Okay, fair enough. So let's, a couple of scenarios then. So the first one is I've been sensible, stopped riding, I've waited out the 10 days and I don't feel like I've got any more symptoms. At that point, back on a bike and just kind of take it steady for a little while. Does that sound like a sensible approach for that scenario?
Yeah, just build it back up again. And you know, you might start riding and you might find that possible symptoms might come back, which means that, you know, you need to build into this slowly. So yeah, just listen to what your body's telling you, I guess is the answer there really. But you know, I think if it's gone after 10 days and absolutely no symptoms, you know, you're good to get back into it. But I think honestly it's worth getting someone else to help you manage that and give you guidance with it is the important thing, because I think sometimes we can just say, I'm all right, and just straight back onto the trail kind of thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. And so where can that sort of support come from?
Yeah. Getting checked out by like an Aldoa practitioner would be a really good person to look for. A Czech practitioner who's level 3 or above. A chiropractor would be good. Mm-hmm. There's a specific type of chiropractor called an SOT chiropractor, which I would recommend. Osteopath, physiotherapist, those kind of people are really good at managing the physical side of things. So like the, you know, addressing things through exercise therapy and manual therapy.
Okay.
But
And if are you able to afterwards, were you able to send me a list of those different types of practitioners? Because there's certainly some stuff I haven't heard of and couldn't spell, I don't think. So if you can send me those and I'll put them in the show notes on the website so people can have a look at that.
Yep. No problem at all. Yeah.
Awesome. Good stuff. So let's go through the other scenario then. So I'm 10 days after the accident, still feeling some symptoms, maybe some confusion or memory loss or, you know, something like that. At that point, what should I be doing? Again, is it a similar thing, finding one of those types of practitioners and telling them what's been going on?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, if you haven't been to the GP or the hospital, you need to have gone. if you've had symptoms and after 10 days you're still having problems, you need to have gone.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the same list of people again to help manage it. And you know, if you can find someone to help with things like the diet side of things, because that's a huge part to to recovery and managing concussion as well. The work I did with Katie as well, there was a lot to do with nutrition, and quite instantly as well, because when you have a concussion, it demands a lot of energy because of the inflammatory response inside the brain. So this is why we can start to feel things like fatigue and feeling dazed and lethargic, etc. So cleaning up the diet is absolutely key, and stimulants is something that really must be steered clear of in a concussion. So things like coffee, tea, energy drinks, cigarettes, all those kind of things an absolute no thing.
Okay, interesting.
Hydration as well.
Yeah. So are there any kind of fairly simple rules that people can follow from a nutritional side of things, or is it complicated?
Difficult, because with any person, it's always very individual, there's complex sides of it. The simple side of it is literally just clean your diet up. Stay away from things like sugary foods, stimulant foods, processed foods. Getting lots of good nutrition into your body is absolutely key for recovering from a concussion. Mm-hmm. But also, there's a huge mental, emotional aspect to it. And this is what I'm saying, to have someone to help you with managing it, if it's a longer term thing, is really important. So having someone like a coach or even a psychologist, which a lot of people shy away from that, going to a psychologist, for example. But there's a big research behind education and reassurance in recovery for concussion as well.
Interesting stuff. So it sounds like there's plenty of people out there that can help, and we can definitely we can definitely create a bit of a list that we put in the show notes so people can head towards that. So I guess go on.
I was going to say, the thing with concussion is, I think currently a lot of the approach to healing it is very, very one-sided, where it's looking at the physical things, but you have to look at concussion as a holistic problem. You have to look at it as in what's going on mentally, emotionally, what's going on nutritionally, what's going on with the physical body. You have to look at the whole picture in order to truly heal it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting stuff. It's way more complex than certainly I give it credit for. I treat it fairly simplistically, bang on the head, leave it for a few days and I should be fine kind of thing, rather than appreciating what it's actually done to me and how severe that can be and how much work it can take to get it back on track.
Yeah,
interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so kind of to summarize then, if people have a crash or their friends have a crash and hit their head, ask them some questions, try and assess how they are, how they're feeling. Are they with it? Are they able to draw on recent memories, that side of things? Stop riding straight away, call it for the day. And probably for a 10-day period to kind of keep a bit of an eye on things. And then a visit either to A&E or to a GP kind of fairly soon after the incident to just get checked out and get them to assess you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And keep an eye out for, symptoms like sensitivity to light as well and to noise. That's another two that I forgot, which are quite common.
Okay, good. And then for getting back running, getting on the bike again, perhaps seek out some support through some of those suggested practitioners. Yeah. And certainly if there's still symptoms going on, then to start talking to someone like that and trying to understand, how to get yourself back on track.
Yeah, I think as well, what I would advise is that whoever you go and see, if you go and see a chiropractor, osteopath, etc., check with them how many concussions they've worked with, what's their experience. Also ask them, do they ride? Because, from my experience, a lot of clinicians and practitioners tend to wrap up people in cotton wool if they don't understand it. So it's worth knowing that they understand what you do as a rider, because then they can help manage you back onto your bike better, in my opinion.
Yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Good stuff. Well, before we wrap up, is there any other kind of areas that we should be talking about that we've not, or anything you think we've missed? I don't want to miss anything out from this.
I mean, like, I could go on all day, Chris, if you've got time.
Yeah.
One other thing is as well is that there are different things that can happen with a concussion, which I think it's important to create awareness of, because they will cause the same symptoms as a concussion. Things like whiplash. If anyone's had a whiplash, you'll get the same thing. You'll get headaches. You can get cognitive issues. You can get balance problems, dizziness, eye movement issues, problems with blood flow to the brain. And honestly, anyone who has a concussion, I think, should always consider themselves to have a whiplash. So you need to go and see someone who can help you with a whiplash and help alleviate that problem.
Okay. And again, is that a similar group of people, similar group of practitioners? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are other things like jaw issues, because often when people hit their heads, you hear about people, breaking their jaw, dislocating their jaw. Jaw issues will cause the same problems again as a concussion. Problems in the inner ear that can cause, the same issues with a concussion. And those things can be quite easily resolved as well. Problems with the spine at the top of the neck, for example, can cause the same issues as a concussion. So you might have suffered from a concussion, but you might have those symptoms coming from, 2, 3, 4, 5 different areas. Mm-hmm. And over time, the concussion could have resolved itself, but you might still have the symptoms coming from somewhere completely different.
Right. Understood. Yeah. No, it makes sense. A very complex area. Yeah.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. This has to be looked at in a very holistic approach and a whole body approach as well.
Good stuff. Cool. Yeah. Anything else that we've not covered yet that you think is important in this context?
Is there anything else? I think, the nutrition side of things is important, and I'd love to be able to give some recommendations. But what I will say, Chris, is that all this information I've given today, it is just from my experience. This isn't this isn't medical advice.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, I understand.
But I think there's a very, very new research on a thing called diminished brain resilience syndrome.
Right.
And this looks at, for example, the health of the brain, the health of the nerves, and it's all based around nutrition and in how we can basically eat to support the nervous system, to make our nervous system more robust. Because at the end of the day, it's just tissue like everything else, and tissue can get damaged and tissue can get repaired. So when we repair our tissue, it's repaired through the foods that we eat, and the foods we eat become the tissue. And so that, the saying "you are what you eat" is very true. So definitely nutrition is quite a big thing, I think, in recovery of concussion.
So within that, then, are there certain food types? Obviously, we should be avoiding processed food, sugary food, all of this sort of stuff. Is there certain food that we should be trying to consume more of? Are there things that are particularly helpful for tissue repair and that side of things?
There is. I mean, one thing I would say is, it's not an option for some people, I understand, but if you have a concussion, is all the food you should eat after that point should be organic.
Right.
Because non-organic foods contain a lot of, they contain trace elements of toxins that can cause problems with the nervous system, for example. Things like omega-3 are quite good. So oily fish and supplements. But I would say if you're going to buy, I'm not suggesting people to go ahead and buy supplements, by the way, but if you're going to buy a supplement, then I would look into how much you spend, because you really do get what you spend on your supplements.
Yeah, so good quality supplements are worth the money if you're going to go that route, right?
Absolutely. But what I would say is you need some form of guidance with that. You need some form of assessment. All of this stuff, you need an assessment before anything is prescribed to you. If you're not assessing, you're guessing, as they say.
Yeah, that makes sense. So lots of oily fishes, omega-3, anything else that's particularly helpful to support that tissue regeneration or repair?
Yeah, there's things like B vitamins are really good as well. Vitamin D is really good. So yeah, lots of, you know, nuts. Dairy's quite good for getting those nutrients in as well. But again, you want to make it as, you know, organic as well.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if this is right or not, but someone told me that non-organic dairy is probably the worst area to not take organic food. It's some of the most contaminated with toxins and hormones and things like that.
Yeah, it can be terrible. Yeah. It can be terrible. In fact, actually, even coffee is really bad. Coffee beans are immensely sprayed with chemicals, for example. And again, it's a stimulant, so it's something you do want to stay away from with concussions. So, yeah, sticking away from the stimulant foods.
Cool. Good stuff. Yeah, really good advice in there. It's super interesting. And, hopefully people will listen to this and think a bit more about how they respond either to their friends having a crash or to them having a crash. Because, yeah, I think the more we learn about concussion, the more we need to be aware of it and you know, how detrimental it can be longer term if we don't deal with it at the time. So, yeah, thank you very
much. Yeah. No problem. And I would say if anyone, you know, is unsure and they have any questions and they just want some guidance, for example, or any help, then by all means, they're more than welcome to contact me. You could probably put my details onto the podcast.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, we'll make sure we'll put links to your website in the show notes. I'll try and find a link for the Alan Shearer documentary on iPlayer and pop that in for anyone that's got access to that. And if you're able to send me a list of the sort of relevant types of practitioner, then we'll pop that in as well.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time today. Really appreciate it. Hopefully, you know, this information is helpful to our listeners. And good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for our concussion special. Really hope you've enjoyed listening and that you get something out of it. Please, please look after yourself and look after your friends when you're out riding the trails. It's super important. Okay, we'll have another episode for you on the 12th of December. But until then, get out and ride.